Welcome to the third episode of Auburn Unleashed. I'm your host, Adam Clayton. I'm here again with Jim Patton. Got a great show for you this week. Randy Campbell's going to be here to talk about the Gus Malzahn hire and recount his days as quarterback for Auburn, playing with Bo Jackson. Jim, we're getting ready for Christmas.
Yes, I've got, I think, when's the 23rd? I got a few more days before I got a shop.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jim, before we get started on this, I wanted to mention, as many people know, this is the show's affiliation of Big Brains Media, which is also affiliated with James Spann, the meteorologist. Some people might call him a weatherman. But you and I talked after our last show. I got an email from James congratulating us on the show and then questioning, though, some of our audio quality. Do you remember that?
Yes. You know, and you've got all those knobs and everything over there. Seems like you ought to be able to turn something and make our audio quality better.
And, you know, yeah, that's what James was saying. He was giving me some hardware suggestions. And I think little does he know, the hardware is fine. We got some serious user problems here, and as you said, there's a lot of knobs and things that are there. I know what this power switch does, but I tell you what, we're going to take a little break for Christmas and New Year's, and Jim, you're still going to be in charge of getting us these great speakers we have, and I'm going to try to figure out how to work this equipment.
Well, we're in trouble. The two rednecks with a mic. Thing that was mentioned last week is getting some. It's getting some fire behind it, and I'm afraid that's what we're going to be dubbed.
Well, what did you call it? You said it had a homey sound to it. Well, yeah. James suggested that I, you know, listen over at Steve Sample's show, the Alabama Bama Talk Show. And by the way, if you haven't checked Steve out over there, if you're into that Bama sort of thing, he does have a good show, and his audio quality sounds great. But one thing I just want to point out: Steve is in a studio, a professional studio. We're out here in the field.
Yeah, why don't you play us, you know, let's do this. Why don't you play us some Christmas music?
I would, but we don't have those licenses.
Are you saying our budget won't allow it?
We're operating on a tight budget here.
Well, let's get us some Auburn news going.
All right, let's get some Auburn news. This week, Alabama Sports Hall of Fame announced four Auburn individuals will be inducted this May. Three of those former players: Ronnie Baines, who played football and baseball from 1962 to 65. He was an SEC and NFL official for 26 years. Line judge in two Super Bowls and served for 2001 and 2008 as supervisor of the NFL officials. Also being inducted is Forrest Blue. Do you remember Forrest?
Forrest Big Boy Blue was his nickname. He was a very, very large player for back then. He did play center. Shug Jordan, he played under Shug. Shug had a sort of a reputation for centers that went to the NFL. Forrest Blue actually was considered one of the best in the NFL. Tom Banks followed him and played on the St. Louis Cardinal offensive line that many people still consider the best offensive line ever, with Dan Dierdorf and that whole group. But, yes, I remember Forrest Blue well.
Forrest was a first-round draft pick for the 49ers, served seven seasons there. Unfortunately, he passed away last July 2011. Also being inducted, Vicki Orr, women's basketball. She was a Kodak All-American for 1987, 88, and 89.
I think she actually went to Randy Campbell, who's going to be on here, same school as he did.
Really?
High school, yeah.
She was 88 SEC Player of the Year and actually is the second all-time women's Auburn scoring with 2,035 points. She also played on the 1992 USA team that won Olympic bronze. Not a player, but a coach, Bill Oliver. Many of us know Bill. Bill had several stints with Auburn. 66 to 70, he was secondary coach under Shug Jordan. Came back 96 to 98, was defensive coordinator, and actually served as interim coach for five games, I believe, in 98.
Yes, we forget he was actually could be considered a head coach at Auburn for a while.
Those guys, along with several others, I think there's a coach over there at that other school by the name of Saban, are going to be inducted in the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame 2013. That's Saturday, May 18th at the Sheraton in Birmingham. You can actually contact Sports Hall of Fame to inquire about tickets. Some other news and going on, I see Busy week in NFL for all former Auburn players. Carlos Dansby from the Miami Dolphins had six tackles for their 24-3 win over Jacksonville. The Saints absolutely destroying the Tampa Bay Bucks this week. Ben Grubbs had 14 starts this season, and then Will Herring came in. Two tackles for the Saints' first shutout in 17 years. It's 41-0 over the Bucks. And Cam Newton also.
Cam Newton, now who is that?
He passed a few balls.
Oh, I was thinking of Bill Newton.
No.
So he's Cam Newton's second most famous Newton to play.
He's the second most famous Newton, you're right.
Okay, cool.
Cam Newton with the Carolina Panthers, 230 yards passing this last week for two touchdowns in their win over San Diego. Well, Jim, last week on our show, you said that we might have Randy Campbell come in, and he's sitting here with us today. Let you have the honors of introducing him.
All right. Randy was a quarterback at Auburn, and no telling how many games he started, and was really a super quarterback at a super time at Auburn. And Randy, you know, we've got a coaching change, and you were down there when the coaching change from Coach Barfield to Coach Dye went on. Kind of tell us about that.
Yeah, Jim, I was a freshman at Auburn in 79, and in 1980, at the end of that season, Coach Barfield, you know, got let go, and it was kind of a strange time at Auburn because about halfway through the year, we weren't, you know, having a lot of success, and you could just feel that the players' focus was not really on what we were doing, and some of the discipline problems started creeping up, and I was actually being redshirted that year, but I tell you what, if Coach Malzahn's anything like Coach Dye was when he came in, these guys are in for a rude awakening next year. But Coach Dye came in, and, I mean, he was unbelievably tough and disciplined. And I think he's told this story many times, but in our off-season program in spring training, I think we lost somewhere between 40 and 60 players. It was really difficult, and all the guys that didn't, you know, really, really want to be there left.
Well, I remember y'all played hard right at first when he was first there, but y'all ended up with some really, really great teams, and you will probably be, you know, you're a guest on our show now, so that'll probably be what you'll be known for instead of quarterbacking those teams. But tell us, we had talked to Charlie Trotman and said what a great backfield he had around him with Brooks, Andrews, and Cribbs. Tell us about some of the backs that you played with. And you played actually in the wishbone, didn't you?
Yeah, I played in the wishbone offense. We ran the triple option, and we had some great running backs. In 1982, that was the first year that I was a starter, and I was a junior. We had Bo Jackson was a true freshman that year, and he was special. You know, the first day he got to campus, he was 6'1", 225 pounds, and could run – you know, a 4.240. So he was like a freak of nature compared to all the other players on the team. And, you know, that year at fullback, Greg Pratt was our fullback. And, you know, tragically, the next fall in 83, he had a heat stroke and died, you know, the first day that we were back on campus for our workouts before the season started. Then Lionel James was our other back. And, of course, in 83, my senior year, Bo and Lionel were both back, and Lionel was a senior, Bo was a sophomore, and then Tommy Agee came in and was our fullback. And I don't know how many years combined those three guys played in the NFL, but I know Lionel played 7 years. He was the led the NFL 1 year in all-purpose yardage because he returned punts, kickoffs, caught passes, ran the ball. And I think he was with San Diego 7 years. Of course, Bo played for the Raiders for – I think 5.5 years, and then Tommy Agee played for the Kansas City Chiefs and then also played with the Dallas Cowboys with Emmitt Smith. So all three of those guys were great running backs. And then beyond that, you know, Brent Fullwood was a freshman in 83. He didn't get to play a whole lot that year, but he, you know, later became a great back. I think he was the number 5 player picked in the NFL draft after his senior year and may still hold the all-time record at Auburn for average yards per carry. I think it was 7.1, and Bo was like 6.9. But all those guys were great players. And, you know, we had some other guys on the team that were great running backs that just didn't get to play much, like Tim Jesse. He's got a Super Bowl ring from when he played for the Redskins, but he didn't get to play a whole lot because we had so much depth at that position. And Collis Campbell from up in Florence was a good running back. So we were pretty heavy at that position.
Well, Randy, we've got a coaching change at Auburn now. What do you foresee here coming up?
You know, I thought a lot about who might come in this year. And, you know, you let your mind wander and you always think about some of these superstar coaches out there or certainly some of the ones that are at the really big schools making a lot of money. And you want to know, you know, can we attract somebody like that to come to Auburn? And it's not so much whether it's Auburn or not. It's just really, really rare, I believe, that any school can take a coach away like that. I mean, you know, Gary Patterson's name was thrown around this year for the Arkansas job, the Auburn job. You know, Jimbo Fisher's name gets thrown around. But in the end, none of those guys, you know, left the school that they were at. And if you look at Auburn's history, you know, Coach Barfield, it was his first head coaching job. He was on Shug Jordan's staff. And then the next four coaches we hired came from Wyoming, Samford University, Ole Miss, and Iowa State. And so I'm not, you know, it didn't surprise me at all that the coach that we ended up hiring came from someplace like Arkansas State. And Coach Malzahn, you know, did a great job when he was here as an offensive coordinator. I think, you know, it's really – he's grown on me the more I've read about him and seen some of the things he's done, like hiring Ellis Johnson as a defensive coordinator. He's got a great reputation. He's coached at a lot of great schools on some very good teams. And Charlie Harbison that's coming in on defense as well. I was really happy to see that there are going to be wholesale changes there because I do – hear and believe that there has to have been some discipline problems over the last year or two because you could see it on the field. We've got athletes down there, but there were so many games where it seemed like we just didn't compete at a certain point in the game and going forward. So I think, you know, completely cleaning the house there and Coach Malzahn bringing in a whole new staff will give him the opportunity to be a leader and with everybody on the same page and all his assistant coaches you know, being behind him and what he's going to have to do. And it's going to be hard, but from what I've heard about Coach Malzahn from, you know, some of the former players that played for him, they say that he's a very strict disciplinarian himself and is a hard-nosed, hard-working person. So that gets me excited.
I don't know if either one of y'all saw it, but it wasn't this Monday night, but it was a Monday night football game last week, and I watched it all the way through. And who's the commentator that used to be the coach for Tampa Bay?
John Gruden.
Yeah, John Gruden actually in the middle of the game was talking about some offensive things that were going on and spent about 30 seconds saying, I don't know if y'all saw this, but saying, that looks like some of that Malzahn stuff from Auburn that in the national championship game. And he talked about it for 15 or 20 seconds. Did either one of y'all see that or hear about it?
I didn't see that, but I can remember when Coach Chizik was hired in 2009, and he announced that he was hiring Gus Malzahn. He was the offensive coordinator at Tulsa, and they played in a bowl game in Mobile, and I watched that game, and it was a driving rainstorm, and I think Tulsa had 600 and something yards of offense, and it was just unbelievable. But he's got a great imagination, and you know, I'm real excited about it. I think we've got a few key positions that I'm really interested to see what he's going to do. If he's going to try to recruit a few junior college guys to fill in some holes, or if he thinks that you know we can do that from within what we've got, or any freshmen coming in.
Randy, I don't know if you knew this, but Wednesday this week. Coach Malzahn confirmed that Cameron Artis Payne has actually signed a national letter of intent. He, according to 247 Sports, is the number one JUCO running back in the country. I've been playing at Allen Hancock Community College in California.
No, I had not heard that. I don't keep up with recruiting all that much, but that's great news.
Also, Randy, I was watching TV last night, national TV on ESPN, and actually saw you on TV. Did you see that?
No, what was it? Was it in black and white or color?
I don't remember, but it was the bold, it was the great show. If any of y'all get a chance to watch it, you should, but it was the 30-30 series they have on ESPN. It was all about Bo Jackson. It was fantastic. If you got to see any of that show.
Yes. You know, Bo Jackson certainly, he's got to be one of the greatest athletes of our time, if not the greatest athlete. And, you know, I've looked at some of the things he's done on the baseball field, and I saw firsthand the things he did on the football field. But in baseball, he's done some incredible things. I mean, he's, you know, catching balls with his back to the infield, you know, against the wall and throwing guys out at third base or picking them off at first. And he's just unbelievable and could hit with such power. Probably one of the more interesting things I saw, I looked it up on YouTube one time about Bo playing baseball, was he was in a game and he got a big lead at first base. And so the catcher tried to pick him off first. And I don't remember who the catcher was, but what he said, he looked up and threw the ball to first. And the only problem was Bo wasn't trying to get back to first. As soon as he saw the catcher try to pick him off, he just headed to second. Yeah. he was so fast that, you know, he got there before the first baseman could throw it and get him out. But, you know, Bo's got the fastest 40 time ever timed in the NFL. And at one time, I was told that he had the fastest time from home plate to first base that had been timed by a major league, you know, scout. And I was told Mickey Mantle was the fastest before that. But Mickey was left-handed, or I guess he was a switch hitter. But from the other side of the plate, he was closer to first base. And Bo always hit right-handed, so he was on the opposite side of the base. But he's just an amazing talent with great speed and size and strength. And I don't know if we'll ever see another one like him.
Well, he was only, what, 6'2", about 230, so, of course, he could run fast.
But Randy, how about before we get out of here, give us what you think a preview would be of the offense Malzahn is about to run, what we can expect next season, whether or not you think he's going to run basically what he ran when he was here as a coordinator.
You know, I didn't see what he did at Arkansas State this year. I did see where they won their conference championship game. I think it was 45-0. And I would assume that he's going to run, you know, a spread offense similar to what he did at Auburn. And, you know, the interesting thing about that is he's always said his philosophy is he wants to be a tough, hard-nosed running team. But he likes to spread the field, and he's got a great imagination. But I think that you know, we need to get back to being physical because it helps the defense so much in practice if you've got an offense that's trying to be physical. If you're real passive, which a lot of these spread offense teams are, it's just very difficult to get the quality practice time on defense. And the case in point would be Sonny Dykes' team. Is that Louisiana Tech? I think it is. But they were ranked number one or two in the nation toward the end of this year in total offense. And they were ranked 120th out of 120 in total defense. So they just, you know, it's fun and gun, but they don't tackle anybody. And people that love Auburn football, you know, have always loved the way we play defense. And it's been a few years since we've been good on that side of the ball. So I'm real excited about Ellis Johnson being there and Coach Malzahn getting us back to being hard-nosed.
Well, Randy, thank you very much for coming and being on our show. And I think I consider you a very good friend and one of the finest men that's come out of Auburn, and we just want to express our gratitude for you being on our show. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it.
All right, a few dates before we go. Men's basketball playing at home on January 2nd after the Christmas break against Florida State. That game 7 p.m. Central Standard Time in Auburn. Then we begin SEC play January 9th, first game, LSU at home, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time in Auburn. Women's basketball begins their conference play on January 3rd against Arkansas, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, Auburn. Jim, you know, basketball is about to gear up. We're about to start playing SEC rivals. How about we take a little break over Christmas, New Year's, then come back and do a basketball show?
Sounds good, Adam. Sounds good.
Then we can, as the spring progresses, we can start looking at recruiting for football. And on behalf of everyone here with Auburn Unleashed and Big Brains Media, we want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year's, Happy Holidays. If we had a budget, we'd play them some Christmas music closing this out, but they get stuck with our regular.
I could sing.
You could sing.
No, we better stop. We better close right now.
All right. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's to everyone.